played this Monday episode. Could you help me find it?
Are you sure you didn't mislay it in somebody's neck?
Oh, that's where it is. Here, let me get that really quick. Welcome, ladies and children and gentlemen of all kinds, shapes, and sorts. This is Game of Owns. It's a podcast. Sometimes they call it goo. I've heard it called goo before.
Yeah.
Do you ever question the abbreviation of our show title?
I guess I'd need a substitute before I did that, because I prefer when I'm saving file names, like our episode files and all that stuff, that it be short so that I type less and save it quickly. So yeah. I've been typing goo and then the number, or goo this, goo. In fact, my notes for today's show are called goo now. So I'm just I thought that was, yeah. No, it's handy. You know, it's just handy to have a 3-letter abbreviation of your show. I don't know what else it would be. We couldn't really find anything shorter, right?
Go.
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 Hey, everybody. Welcome to G. My name is Zach. Eric's with me. Eric's
always here.
We're the tried and true soldiers of the Goo Soldier Squad.
It's true.
And the thing is, we're also the ones that have read least of the series. So everyone who's hanging out with us today, appreciate that fact. We're probably as stumped as most of you.
Yeah, it's true. And by, you know, the more people read, such as Micah and Selena, who can't make it today, I think they have less appreciation for the individual chapters, such as this one, where interesting stuff happens. But, you know, it's not their fault. It's just that these books are quite massive, thousands of pages each. And by the time you get to reading the fifth book or sixth book, whatever it is that, you know, Mike and Selena are on right now, it's probably got to be hard to really just appreciate a small chapter such as this one.
I appreciate it. I texted people literally after I had read this. And I said, F, that was an awesome chapter. And Eric, when we just got on Skype, he's like, hey, what'd you think of the chapter? And I was like, save it.
Save it. I knew you had, like, gold this
well,
time.
It might be some sort of, like, impure silver, but I do have to say that this was a cat chapter. We got it from her POV, and it was probably, I don't want to say it was my favorite, but you know how we've had battles in, like, the last handful of chapters, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
This was one of the most interesting ones because she essentially sat on top of a ridgetop as Rob and all of his men went and took on Jaime Lannister. And so the entire perspective we got was all from sound. So we sort of read a podcast about a battle. So we're secondhand lining you this podcast.
Yeah. Like they went from the previous chapter was the Tyrion Lannister in battle, you know, with everybody getting their ears cut off. And this one was, again, though, it was from Kat's perspective, and she didn't even fight. So I got to make the argument again. Shouldn't this have been a Robb Stark chapter?
I would agree with you on that level completely.
I mean, I know we don't hear from Robb at least yet, and we only see him through other people's eyes. It kind of makes him more enigmatic. I think we made that argument before. But she really just kind of sits up on this ridge and thinks about all the men who left her and asked her to wait for them and all this other stuff. And then she hears, essentially listens to the battle. Now, I do have to hand it to George R. R. Martin, though, because it's got to be challenging to write a battle when you're in the thick of it. And it's also got to be challenging to write what a battle sounds like when somebody's just up on the ridge listening to it.
Right.
So she, you know, and there are little moments where I think this storytelling still flourishes, such as Catelyn asking herself, is there only one direwolf? Because it's ripping and tearing and men are screaming. And she's right. Like, oh my gosh, you know, this wolf is tearing people apart. But, you know, she doesn't see it. And at the end of it, she, you know, when Robb Stark fortunately returns alive, him and some of his men come back, including Theon Greyjoy. And, you know, they give her an account of what just happened. But, you know, here again, we find this cat chapter where there's been sort of a lapse in time. You know, there's a paragraph that begins, afterwards, she said, you know, she couldn't say that she actually saw the battle. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, again, they've done this passage of time in the middle of one of her chapters.
That is weird, I think. I don't know if that's a flaw or if it's not a flaw. Does that make any sense? Like, to me, I feel like chronologically writing, there should be, maybe we'll find an overarching theme. Like, maybe at the very end, she's like reading a storybook to someone. You know what I mean? Or someone else.
Yeah, possibly. Like, you mean in her specific POV, it's more tailored to some kind of like her telling somebody else's story.
Right. Well, like in The Hobbit, for example, Bilbo, like the whole idea is that Bilbo has written the story. Like we're reading a book that he essentially has written from a different perspective. So, you know, so a passage of time where Catelyn's like, later Catelyn would find that yada, 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 like literally between two paragraphs of her own thoughts. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, I wouldn't even bring it up at all if this wasn't the second time that I noticed this, and the second time that happened in a Catelyn chapter, the first time
being, pulls you out of it. You know?
Well, yeah, a little bit, because it's like, well, afterwards she made this, she made that, and I'm like, okay, that's an interesting. It's just probably another way of varying the sentences.
Yeah,
you know, like explaining that, just another way of introing the fact that there's been a passage of time, but still, it's the second time that there's been this lapse. The first time was obviously her recently with her arrangement with Walder Frey, where it. You know, she kind of broke him in and then it split to her exiting saying, hey, we made this deal.
Right.
But, you know, regardless, again, it wasn't that bad a chapter. And, you know, when you're listening into the battle, you do kind of, I guess, you know, that was how he chose to give us the details. And I think it still worked.
Yeah, no, I really love this chapter because, first off, I'm a huge Robb Stark fan. I'm pretty sure everybody knows that. But most of the beginning of the chapter was sort of looking at him through adoring eyeglasses. He was so tall and gallant in his armor, and it was, you know, he was on top of a gray horse, and I'm thinking, man, that's a sweet color palette you got going on there. Like, that's pretty cool. And then he puts on his helmet and turns to his mother, and she said he looks just like a giant, like tall young knight. She's like, I can't believe he's that tall and big and strong, and he's got this badass legendary direwolf beside him.
It's true. Gray Wind.
Yeah, that is unlike anything any of them have ever seen.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, I'm going to go ahead and ride down to the men and go have a conversation with them before we fight, because it puts them in high spirits, you know. And that was such a neat thing, because first off, he's paying homage to his father who taught him that, obviously. Mm-hmm. But also he's stepping out of his age, and it's just showing us time and time and again sort of just how strong of a leader he has grown into.
Yeah, I mean, we saw in a previous chapter, I wouldn't say that Catelyn coddles him, but she certainly does look out, and she wants to arrange, she's tried to arrange before, like her opinion this, her opinion that, trying to get herself, you know, trying to advise him and that sort of thing. But in this chapter, she steps aside. You know, he's the one who wants to run along his lines and see his men. And also, there's a moment when he points to the map of the area. Of course, I think his father told him to read maps too, but he tells his men, he tells his men where to go.
He's like, the big key is here, and we really need to open up this chest.
Yeah.
There's a bow and arrow inside. So let's do this real quick.
Yes, let's do that. So so here we see Robb actually leading. Like, this isn't even Catelyn says, well, wouldn't you rather do this? This is Robb saying, look, guys, all right, we're going to come around here. You're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to get him in the bag. It's going to be trapped. Nobody's going to know about it. Oh, and also, one of the men reports that they kept killing all the birds that were trying to deliver messages of warning to Jaime Lannister. So we got all these dead birds. We're going to have a soup later. It's going to be great.
Well, we've been hearing so much about this purported strategy that Rob's been handling. And since we haven't actually got a chapter from his perspective, and we've mentioned this before, we don't really know anything about the strategy other than the fact that he wants to cut them off at River Run so they can't have a full force battle.
Yeah.
So, you know, reading this chapter, we get to see all of these things kind of tumble into existence just from the sounds that she's hearing. So we know that they have a bunch of archers dressed in green hidden in the trees. We know that the Karstark has his people and a whole an entire contingent of their army hidden in these trenches to the side of this place where they're actually battling. And so as the Lannisters move in, they're shouting, Lannister, Lannister. People are shouting, River Run, Tully, fishes, lunch on Silver's Alaskan shrimp crab. It's delicious. And they jump into battle, and then all of a sudden they're flanked from behind. And, you know, there's really no way that the Lannisters can win. Like, these Stark guys, like, just kick their living asses because Robb played way too much Call of Duty back in the day, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And even though they figured it out before the battle that the Lannister men outnumber them 3-1, according to Theon Greyjoy, they've actually managed to kill 10 Lannisters for every one of their men lost.
Yep.
And that's badass. And
oh, yeah.
I think a lot of that has to do with the element of surprise, which they found them in, which stems again from their killing the birds. It's a shame that so many birds had to die, but once you teach them to carry your letters, it's fair. They're fair game.
You teach a bird to fly, and then you kill it. That's pretty much.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
No, it was a great chapter. And, you know, I feel like we're giving Catelyn some unfair shit. She didn't pick to be written about, you know, like it was fine. You know, like she had her bit. She got to see the battle. It was actually a really unique way to ingest the battle, because normally in literature, you know, you're kind of thrown into it and it's a little bit disorienting. But this time, I feel like it was the opposite of disorienting. It was actually very controlled. So it was sort of a refreshing way to experience a battle through someone else's words. And I'm not particularly someone who just enjoys reading battles within these things. Like, the battles aren't my favorite parts. You know, Blackwater wasn't my favorite episode, yada, yada, yada. I love battles pretty much like the rest of us. I think we're all inherently violent and love to see a little bit of that. But I thought this was a nice break and one of my favorite chapters so far, honestly, because it was so much doting upon Rob and making him seem stronger, which I think is good for their entire cause.
Yeah, I agree.
So it was cool. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, let's talk about Jamie.
Oh, yeah.
So obviously the prize of this chapter is of course, the capturing of Jamie Lannister, the Kingslayer, who is a proud man. So proud that he will not stay home, you know, and let his men fight for him. He often rides headfirst into the battle. They really have his number. The Stark men... They know him. They know his, and it's not even necessarily arrogance. It's confidence. It's impatience. That's the word that they keep using, is that he's not a patient dude. And they're able to get him to the point where it's very obvious that he's not going to survive this battle. And so he decides to take as many Karstark men with him, as he can. But he decides in that last moment with his last potential for, you know, attack, to go straight for Rob. And he actually, this isn't said, I guess I'm infusing it through context clues. Rob says it to Catelyn, but just that he basically was coming straight for Rob. And then these three or four guys, you know, most of them Karstarks, actually jumped in front and defended Rob. Rob basically says to Catelyn, look, if these guys hadn't, you know, been in between Jamie and me, I would have died. And Catelyn's like, but these men swore to protect you. That's the thing. Don't feel bad about it.
Right. No, it's actually really interesting because the Lannisters were fallen pretty much. Like, there was pretty much no chance left. And Jamie, like, saw his options, whether to fall back and either retreat or to die trying. And he decided that both of those options were terrible and that he was just going to sprint up the hill toward Rob. And so the entire time he was sprinting toward Rob, you know, the Karstark sons jumped in front of him. Mr. Karstark was nowhere to be found because he was dealing with some other people. He cut them all down, like chopped off their hand, you know, bleeding out of the stump of an arm, like sliced a skull open, beheaded someone. And the entire time he did this, he's wearing no helm. They had seen him earlier in the chapter, like through the trees, Catelyn had. So we're seeing it from a woman's perspective. And she was like, I could see his, you know, armor set on fire by the moonlight, and he was riding into battle without a helm, just to his hair just waving in the wind. And so he's running up this hill, and the entire time he like does this sweet ass move. He's like a cleric, like he's crazy good. He kills these men, and the entire time he's doing it, he's just saying, Rob, you get down here, you bastard. Basically, like, he's just yelling Rob's name and just basically staring at him, you know. And Rob couldn't help in time, and essentially what happened was they captured him, and they captured, you know, the show doesn't allude to this, but they captured a bunch of other Lannister people.
A lot of the Bannermen,
including some actual Lannisters, like three or four of them or two or three of them. And then, you know, like a good selection of some of their higher ranked Bannermen that they knew they could use to barter with.
Yeah, totally. I was surprised to see that some of the nephews, like Tywin's nephews, were in this battle.
Yeah, I mean, the book definitely, I mean, this goes without saying, the book definitely gives some more knowledge onto what the specifics are when the battle is being surrounded. And I would think that the show would allude to a little bit more of that, but there's already so many characters in the show. So even talking about someone like Lancel is sort of a stretch, because that's another person they have to cast. It's another character arc. They have to kind of fit in there.
Yeah.
And so it's totally understood. Like, I know some people get a little disgruntled when they see situations like this one, for example, not even shown in the show, let alone referring to the people that were captured and the implications of that in the battle in the future.
Yep.
But, you know, it's kind of what they have to do. It's hard to make a TV series.
Agreed. I wouldn't, I don't envy them, you know, but I will say that they do it very well.
They do. So they capture Jamie, they throw Jamie down at the feet of Lady Stark. And this is where you see the famous exchange first off, when they're kind of, she's like, hey, you're a dick. And he's like, yeah, but I'm too cool to kill. So what up? Like, he's just waving his hair back and running his hands through it. Like, and this is where the mislaid line comes through.
Yeah. Yeah. I have this as my own of the week this week. And it's a quote from a book. Lannister raised his head. "Lady Stark," he said from his knees. Blood ran down one cheek from a gash across his scalp, but the pale light of dawn had put the glint of gold back in his hair. Quote, "I would offer you my sword, but I seem to have mislaid it," end quote. and then, conversely, from a couple of paragraphs later, once he's either led away or basically it's just Rob and Kat, Rob says, quote, "He mislaid his sword in Eddard Karstark's neck after he took off Torrhen's hand and split Darren Hornwood's skull open."
Yeah.
All the time he was shouting for me.
Yeah.
So Jamie gets this, gets my own for sure.
Well, I feel like it's the obvious thing for me because obviously Jamie was a badass in this, but yeah. I'm going to have to give my own to Grey Wind because at the beginning of the battle, he's standing beside Rob. A horn gets bellowed from the Karstarks that are hiding on the other side of the battle once the Lannisters have jumped in.
Yeah.
And rather than Rob's camp, like his little selection, rather than them blowing a horn back, Grey Wind just rears back his head and howls. So I'm going to have to give it to Grey Wind for instilling fear in the hearts of all, but also being intelligent enough to understand how battles are concerned. Like he was like, "Hey, Grey Wind, let them know that we're coming."
You know what's funny is actually Rob Stark had to let go his horn blower, his prior horn blower. He's like, "We don't need you anymore. You're dismissed." And so some guy's out of a job because Rob Stark has this badass direwolf.
Exactly. So Grey Wind's awesome. And, you know, the more you read these books rather than just watching the show, you get so much more of the magical undertones that these characters have connected with these wolves, but also just the wolves in general being their own sort of strong characters in the show is interesting. Mm-hmm.
So again, this was a short chapter, but that is the end of it. We've got roughly 10 chapters left of the first book. And of course, that will eventually lead to us taking a small break while we instead discuss season 3 of the television show, which airs on March 31st. If you've been living under a rock or a big giant direwolf, it is March 31st. If you've been living under Patrick Starr or in a pineapple under the sea, and for some reason you don't know, on March 31st, the new season comes. And so we'll get back to our original show format and some maybe different surprises for you.
If it's okay with you guys, if it's okay, we'll take a break from talking about the books and we'll talk about the new series for a little bit.
Yeah,
if
sure.
If that's okay with you guys.
If you guys want to start a petition, you can do that over on our Goo forums. And that is actually on the Game of Owns website, located at gameofowns.com. Contact us at any time via email. The address is contact@gameofowns.com. And we're actually huge on Twitter. I don't know if you know this.
Massively huge.
Massively huge on Twitter. And we all of us often host, we retweet our own tweets all the time. If they're Game of Thrones related, and we retweet the listeners every time, mostly every time that something really cool is shared.
Yeah, if it's badass, then we'll do it.
Oh yeah, man. No, twitter.com/GameOfOwns.
We're unverified and dangerous, so look out. All right.
Yes, we are, and we seem to have mislaid our verification.
We mislaid it. And if that rock hasn't cracked and allowed you guys to peek your head just out of your restful slumber, then you might have known that Valentine's Day has come and gone. We have successfully wined and dined each member of the listening audience, and we're glad you guys had a great time. If you weren't one of those people and you just saw some of the posts online, you'd see that we had 4 carefully placed Valentine's gifts for you from our hearts to yours.
Yes. We hope that you enjoyed them, and we hope that you said yes to being our Valentine this year.
Yes. Now all I could think about is one of the Valentines I think I gave away in like 4th grade, and they were like Crocodile Hunter themed ones.
What?
And it was like, "Crikey, you're gorgeous." Sorry to the Australia listeners. That was a terrible accent, but you get the idea. Rest in peace, Steve Irwin. You were a magnificent man.
Gosh, the last time I actually gave like paper Valentines, they were like Superman or Spider-Man, and they were like, "You're a super friend." You know, it's cheesy.
So yeah, there was some Valentine's stuff. We got a few responses on Twitter.
Matthew Potter replied to our most recent chapter about John, and he says, "Not even George R. R. Martin can beat Micah's Samwell." So that was cool.
He also replied to us on Twitter and made a statement about one of the chapters we did, the Tyrion battle one. He's like, "You guys forgot to mention the bit where Tyrion headbutted a fucking horse to death." So yes, we wanted to leave that part out and hope that one of you guys caught it. And there you go. You did.
We're just keeping you on your feet, you know, making sure that that kind of stuff gets caught.
We're paraphrasing.
Of course, another one of our recurring friends, Gordon, Gordy Walls, said that Pipar has the right of it. Pip has the right of it. Joffrey didn't mean for Ice to kill Ned. He just wanted to give him a haircut. That's a preview of upcoming attractions.
There you go.
But yeah, that Valyrian steel, man, I'm telling you. But anyway, we got a tweet from what I can assume is a recent listener, first time replier to us on Twitter. Isabel says, I love goo and I love Selena Wilkins' accent.
Oh, wow.
So we get some love from people.
Love is a strong word. We like love around here. Love saves the day. I saw Warm Bodies last night. Eric, spoiler alert, love saved the day.
Love saved the day. Is that like, is it done in a really cool way, or is it done like water kills the aliens and Signs?
Oh, no, it's done in a really cool way. And it was also colored really cool. It was a very blue movie, so it was cool on a bunch of different levels. So that was nice.
Spoiler alert about Signs, by the way. Lara Hawk really loved your Dothraki wheels on the bus. Zach.
I don't even know how that happened. The hooves on the horse go. Let's clap with it, Eric. Ready?
Up and down.
Ready?
Yeah, yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. The
hooves on the horse go up and down.
Up and down.
Are they going up, 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 or up, up and down?
Is it? I don't. Let's try it again.
They
how
go clop, de clop, clop,
clippity clop. You, listen, you'll figure it out. We'll read the rest of your tweets. There's actually a handful more as the week progresses. We've still got two more episodes this week, and I'm fairly positive that Mike is coming out of his basketball driven slumber. So keep your tweets rolling in. We'll be seeing them. We'll be reading them. Anything else that rhymes, keep your Swedens and your tweetins to yourself. You guys know who you are. And other than that, you know, there's an iTunes app that you could click into if you have it on your phone. If you don't have it on your phone, then you may have it on your computer. And if you don't have either of those things, stop stealing your dad's laptop to listen to our show, okay?
Yeah.
Stop stealing your dad's laptop to listen to our show.
Don't do it.
Unless he's a fan, then let him listen to it as well.
And when he asks, don't tell him you miss late. We know you love us. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you later on this week. I'm Eric Skull.
I've seemed to have mislaid my name. Oh, wait.
Check in Eddard Karstark's neck.